Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of James. James chapter 3. We're going to talk about that dreaded tongue. That dreaded tongue. The preacher, did you hear somebody say something? Is that why you're preaching on it? No. I never preach on anything based on what I know. A lot of times I preach on things because I'm convicted. And I go back and study, and I look at the scripture, and I realize, I need to do a little correction in this. And this is the case here. James chapter 3, verse 1. Scripture says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If in many offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is the little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindreth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word and for the truth of it. And we ask you, Lord, to encourage us and lift us up in this area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Got to thinking about the tongue and realized that if I'm not careful in my own life, it's like being on a river and the water is pushing me a certain direction. And if I just relax and don't put a guard on what I say, I can easily be turned by the water and easily be turned by my sinfulness to say things I shouldn't say, and I don't mean bad things, and to say, neglect to say what I should say. And as I thought about that, I realized, you know, I need to come back and put a guard and kind of put some boundaries around my speech as a person. James is very blunt. James is a fellow that when he writes, he doesn't have time to, how wonderful it is, and God blesses you, and blah, 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 blah. James gets right to the heart of the matter and talks about our speech. And in these verses of Scripture, I want to just bring up some things to notice. All through this passage of Scripture, I think what James does to get our attention is to demonstrate the power of the tongue. We think it's just some little old bitty thing, it don't amount to much, but James tries to bring us up and realize that there's great power in your words, for good or for bad. Therefore, you and I do need to put a guard over them. The first thing he says is the power of the tongue to condemn us. Notice in verse 1. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Now, masters, he doesn't mean in the sense of slavery. He's using the term from the sense of a teacher, a master, who's a teacher. That's what his point is. And so he said, you be careful, folks, not be jumping to the gun to say, I want to be a teacher. Because it said, you shall receive the greater condemnation, or you shall receive the greater judgment. Now, he's not talking about eternal judgment, because that's settled through Jesus Christ. But he is talking about when we stand before God as Christians and give an account of our lives to be rewarded for those things we've done, those who teach and who have the responsibility to teach are going to receive the greater judgment, are going to receive greater scrutiny because we teach. And so he warns us, be careful about it. Everybody wanting to be a teacher, and everybody want to speak up for God. If you do, you're going to put yourself in a position to have to be held accountable more by God. I think we're held accountable because of what we teach. People think, oh, you know, the Bible, big deal. Everybody knows the Bible. That's not true. That's not true. Not everybody knows the Bible. Not every time a verse is quoted, not every time somebody says the Bible says, is that what the Bible says? There's much out there that is said that I hear quite often that I just go, this is not Bible. It has no reflection upon the teaching of the Scripture. And so I think one of the reasons he said, you know, be careful, because it's what you teach. Do you teach heresy? Do you teach things that are incorrect? Do you teach things that shouldn't be done? Do you teach the right thing? Are you up here just sort of in the clouds saying all kinds of wonderful things, but you're not expounding the Scripture? So we will be held accountable for what we teach, and probably the way we teach will be held accountable. By the way we teach means our attitude. You know, our attitude. It's easy as a pastor to come in here, and I you realize I talk an hour and a half a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. That's a lot of words. And it's easy, if you're not careful about your heart, want to bring out what you want to say. Ah-ha. I know somebody. Boy, I'm going to preach to them today. Well, I think we'll be held accountable for the way we teach if our attitude is such. Through the years, I've really strived, don't say I've been perfect, to make sure what I teach is not because I want to get even with someone or to say something that needs to be said. My professor used to say, a lot of men get in the pulpit and wax eloquently and boldly, and they think they're being bold, when in fact, they're cowards, because they don't have the boldness to go to the individual and confront them personally. And that's always stuck with me. The pulpit is not a place to get things off your chest. Now, I'm not perfect at that. But it's not a place to get things off your chest. This needs to be said. No. If you say, boy, preacher, I'm glad you said that. It wasn't because I planned on it. It's just as I expound Scripture. Third, I think we're judged because of the way we live, how we conduct ourselves. The point is, the tongue has great power to condemn. So be careful if you say, oh, I want to be a teacher. Oh, I want to speak for the Lord. Well, as soon as you open your mouth, just remember God holds you more accountable than he does other people. Because to display his word and to interpret his word and to proclaim his word is not just a shallow thing. It is an awesome responsibility. So that's the first thing he said. Second thing he says, it has great power to control our lives for good. Notice verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. You know what the whole point of that is? And I'll get into it in a minute. But the whole point of it is, if you can control your tongue and what you say, then you will be pretty well disciplined to take care of many other things that need to be a part of the Christian life. In other words, the tongue is so where easily sin finds an expression. The word stumble means, the word offend means to stumble. That is, what we say should come out of a pure heart and a holy heart that reflects who God is. Perfect does not mean without perfection. Often James used the word perfect to mean mature. So what comes out of the mouth should express that we're maturing in the Lord, that we display a little grace in what we say, that we understand. And so the word perfect, if a person is maturing and what comes out of their speech is godly and wholesome and beneficial, then they're able to control much of other things in their lives because they're able to control their tongue. The word body means to refer to the whole person. It is, we control our speech, which so easily responds to sin. We can control other parts of our body with the help of the Holy Spirit. In other words, what James says, that if you want to get things under control in your life, start with your speech. Because if you can control your speech and make it what God intended, you're on your way to being able to control a lot of other things in your life. And so he says, the tongue has great power to help us to control ourselves. And I realized, you know, as I thought about this, that I realized sometimes the mouth, particularly when you talk a lot, is apt to sin. Proverbs says that. And I begin to think about it and pray a lot and say, Lord, you know, I've got to rein this in. I've got to put some boundaries again behind my speech. When a person's speech is Christ exalting, God honoring, edifying, then the rest of the life is spiritually healthy. So James says, well, you know, I want to get things straight in my life. Well, I'll tell you how to do that. Start with your speech. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you can focus and get a handle on what you say and how you say it, you'll be on the road to getting your handle on a lot of other things in your life. That's what James is saying in verse 2. We all stumble many ways, but if a man is able to control his speech and bridle that, he'll be able to control his whole life because he's got to the very thing that interferes with his life, his speech. So it's preeminent in your lives. Then he uses an illustration to draw this to point to you. Verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. He illustrates this power that if you control your tongue, you'll be able to control many things in your life. And so he used the example of a bit in a horse's mouth. What's interesting, the bit is put over the tongue of the horse. It's just a little small thing there, the reins coming up. But because it's there in the mouth, you can turn the horse any way you want to go. Even though it's just a little small thing, it has great power to control this huge horse. Let's go this way. Let's go that way. Some people are better horse riders than myself. I'm not much of a horse rider, but you know what it means to control that horse by the bit. You can turn it any way you want to. And so James illustrates, say, look, the tongue is a small thing. You don't think much about it. You don't think much whatever you say. But it's like the bit in the horse's mouth. Even though it's small, it can control this huge animal and where it goes. So if you get a hold of your tongue, you're on your way to growing as the Lord intended you to do. He again adds another illustration in verse 4. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a small helm whithersoever the governor listeth. Meaning the rudder of a great ship. You know, a huge ship can be turned by the rudder on that ship. Let's go this way. Let's go around in a circle. This huge ship can be turned easily by the rudder. And so James illustrates and says, look, horses can be controlled, but they're not controlled by something big. They're not controlled by something huge. They're controlled by a small bit in the mouth. The same way with a ship. It's not controlled by some huge thing. Of course, the engine is huge. But you have this huge engine that can take this ship, and all it is the rudder can determine which direction it's going. So again, James illustrates, says, look, folks. Your tongue has great power if you control it. And if you can control it, you're well on your way to controlling many other areas of your life. If our tongue were so well under control that it refused to formulate the words of self-pity, images of lustfulness, the thoughts of anger and resentment, then these things are cut down before they have a chance to live. The master switch has deprived them of any power to switch on that side of our lives. The control of our tongue is more than the evidence of spiritual maturity, is the means to it. If a person can control their tongue, they're on their way to spiritual maturity. Oftentimes, what can come out of our hearts really can be nothing more than jealousy. Sometimes sarcastic comments, sometimes critical comments, sometimes cool comments can be simply made because in our hearts we're jealous towards another person. They're taking our position. They're getting honored more than we are. Sometimes what comes out of the mouth is bitterness. I find that often when you mention the right person or you mention the right situation and out it boils up. Many of the things that people say are not said out of kindness, but they're said out of bitterness. And so those sarcastic comments, those critical comments, those comments of harshness can flow out of attitudes in the heart, anger in the heart. And so what James says, listen, if you want to grow and be mature as a Christian, focus on your tongue. Make sure that what you say doesn't arise out of a heart of bitterness or jealousy or frustration or all the other things in life. There are some people that say, you know, I don't know about that person. They're just too quiet. Well, thank God, because they're going to get more in trouble if they're not. I'm a talker sometimes. And I got to be careful. My tongue can get me in trouble. I stand up here an hour and a half a week, and I got to be prayerful. Lord, help me keep my tongue under control, because I'm talking for 30 minutes. And so it's very important. The tongue is the avenue of what's in the heart. It's sort of like a window. You go up to the person's window in the house and you clean off all the dirt, and all of a sudden you can see the light shine out. But the tongue is the light, is the window that shows what's in our hearts. And so if you get a hold of that, you're getting a hold of your heart and your attitudes, and you're on your way. Then I want you to notice this third thing. It has great power to create great problems. He says in the next verse, verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. You know, it is the natural inclination of the human race is to boast, is to brag. Years ago, Thomas Edison, who had some 300 and some inventions, was an absolute brilliant man. And all the things that he invented, many of the things we enjoy today, is because of Thomas Edison. He was asked to speak at a place. And the man who introduced him went on for about 20, 30 minutes. Never said nothing about Thomas Edison. But he spent the 20, 30 minutes talking about himself and what great things he had done and how wonderful he'd done and what a great job he'd done and how many, and he just went on just boasting on and on and on and on and on. And here was great Thomas Edison, and so he stood up. He'd not even been introduced. The other guy just bragged. Thomas Edison just said, well, I thought I had done a lot of inventions, but apparently this man's done a lot too, or so he says. Or so he said. It's easy to boast. Whenever we boast, it leaves a wake of destruction. It tears down others. It destroys churches, families, marriages, and personal relationships. Job said in Job 19:2, how long will you vex my soul and break me in pieces with your words? He says, notice, even so the tongue is just a little member. But man, can it boast? Can it boast of what great things I have done? And then he says something that it just, this is so amazing to me. He then says, behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Not only can the tongue speak boldly, but by its words it can just destroy greatly. And he uses the images of a fire. And the idea is that there's this little fire. It's just small, just a little spark.
But he says, behold how that little spark of fire can just explode and just burn all sorts of things. When I was a little kid, I never have forgotten this, we lived in the country. And in our backyard, it was rather small. We went to put our trash in a barrel, and we had to burn it. Well, it was right by the fence where the field was. And fortunately, it was time for the field to be burned, which I'm glad that's what happened. And I was asked to go out there and put the trash in there, and we burned it in the trash. Well, I was supposed to watch it. You know, being a kid, I didn't. Well, the wind came along and blew the trash over the fence into the field. And fortunately, the crops had already been taken care of, and I did a good job for the farmer. I helped burn the field for him. And so I come back out from where I was playing, and all of a sudden that field was just a blaze on fire. What? And it was a fairly large field. I mean, that place was just burning like crazy. And it was not far from some woods and not far from some houses where the woods were. And before I knew it, it seemed like the whole town at the time had to come. They had to bring a bulldozer, and they had to go down in between the woods, and they were out there digging these big trenches and trying their best to stop the fire before it got over into the woods, burned the woods down, then burned people's houses down. And of course, I was the preacher's kid. I don't remember what was said about that, but the example is, a little word, if you're not careful, can turn into a big kindling and create great destruction. On October the 8th, 1871, about 8:30 in the evening, a lantern in Mrs. O'Leary's barn, presumably kicked over by her cow, ignited the Great Chicago Fire. Before it could be contained, 17,500 buildings were destroyed. 300 people died, and 125,000 were left homeless because of a lantern being knocked over and a little bitty fire. I'm telling you what James says, behold how great a matter a little fire kindled. He's trying to tell you, folks, your tongue has so much power, it can go way beyond you. I never would have dreamed that putting a little bitty flame in a trash can would wind up blowing over and burning down the whole woods just about it. Never dreamed it would go far beyond me, and it was out of our control. I mean, they couldn't stop it. They had to go down there and dig trenches to stop the thing. That's the way it is with the tongue. You can say something, but once it's out of your mouth, it may be a little spark, but buddy, it can blow up into a fire and create so much damage in people's lives. In 1903, a pan of rice boiled over onto a fire, spreading coals across the room and starting a blaze that eventually consumed a square mile of a Korean city, burning some 3,000 buildings to the ground. Fire has an amazing capacity to reproduce itself in an almost unlimited way as long as it has fuel to burn. Fire feeds upon itself. If there's sufficient flammable material and enough oxygen to sustain it. That's what he uses the images of a fire. Because a fire, once started, has a tremendous capacity to grow and burn and almost be unstoppable. All you got to do is look out west and you go, my goodness, what happened? A spark somewhere that was dry. It was drought time, and all of a sudden you look on the news and there is smoke in the woods and the fire is just burning everything. They're having to try to do everything they can to stop it. Helicopters are flying in to stop that thing and try to put water on it because it's headed to people's houses, and sometimes it burns their houses down. What an image that he gives. Behold. The word behold means look, folks. Look how easily what you say can be a little spark, but buddy, that thing can explode and spread and destroy lives, and you have no control over that. My daddy said years ago, someone started a rumor against him, and it was a very vicious rumor.
And it was so vicious that he knew he had to track this down because it was spreading across the community. Of course, he told me that he pretty well knew where to go. Because there was a lady in the town who was known as the biggest gossip there ever was. And he pretty well knew where to go to the source. And he did. Confronted the woman. And what she had done was misinterpret a situation. And he nipped that thing. But you know, if he said, if I hadn't nipped that thing would have just grown like wildfire. He said, people have been saying all sorts of things about me and I'd have been gone. Because sad to say, some of them would have believed it. The truth is, a little spark of words can create great damage. A father can say things to his child and doesn't realize he may be harsh, he may be cruel, he may say it in a way that's not good. That thing will grow in that heart. It'll blow up, create great damage between them, parents. It happens with people. People can say things sometimes that just hurt, that hurt people. Before you know it, that thing can grow up and people's emotions and feelings can get involved. And that thing has taken out a little spark and it's just grown up to something big. Proverbs 15 says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. Proverbs 26 says, coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. You want to get the fire rolling? Put some more wood on it. You want to get some trouble and strife somewhere? Just throw a contentious, stubborn person on it who wants to say something. And poof, you got troubles. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. I love that one. There's no talebearer. You know what a talebearer is? It's a gossip, but you know what it is? It's someone who tells tales, and they bear them, and they take them from place to place. It's like someone taking a wheelbarrow. Got a few tales for you. Here, I got some more for you. And they pass them around. Well, someone said, well, I only say things that are true. That's true. That isn't technically gossip if I only say things that are true. Yeah, but does it need to be said? And I realized sometimes I got convicted. I shouldn't have said that. Should I kept my mouth shut? Unfortunately, I did it in time. David said, my soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword. Someone was recently telling me about someone in their place, another church in their work, and said that, you know, there's a certain people where you work. He said, I don't trust them because I've seen them talk to people and be nice to their face and go behind their back and destroy them. And I said, don't worry, because God's kingdom works a certain way. And people who do that are going to find people getting distance from them. I remember years ago when I was taking classes right out of high school, and these two ladies, two young girls in the class, this guy would come in, and they were just so friendly and everything to him. And when he walked away, man, they tore him to pieces. We can't stand the guy. I thought, well, you were so nice to him. So when I got up to leave, I made sure I walked out this way. And I thought later, I wonder what they said about me. David says, thy tongue devises mischief like a sharp razor. It worketh deceitful. 52 says, thou lovest evil more than good and lying rather than to speak righteousness. The tongue. He said, oh, a preacher, you're preaching. No, I'm really talking to me, if you want to know the honest truth. I'm really saying, okay, got to get control of this thing. Oh, what did you do, preacher? No. Just the Lord works in the heart to say, yeah. Someone wrote, I'm more deadly than the streaming shell from the howitzer. I win without killing. I tear down homes, break hearts, and wreck lives. I travel on the wings of the wind. No innocence is strong enough to intimidate me, nor purity pure enough to haunt me. I have no regard for the truth, no respect for justice, no mercy for the defenseless. My victims are as numerous as the sands of the sea and often innocent. I will never forget and seldom forgive. My name is gossip. Oh, preacher, I know some people that need to hear that one today. Be careful when you say that. There are gossips, and then there are in our hearts. We all need improvement in our tongue, and we need God's grace. Let's pray. Father, we love you today, and we thank you for your precious word. If we fall short, that's okay, Lord. You are a graceful and forgiving God. We don't have to beat ourselves up. We don't have to tear ourselves down. We just have to say, Lord, forgive us and give me strength to do better. And Lord, if we think we're not guilty, well, then maybe we might need to do a little praying and maybe do a little examining, make sure, because we all fall short. Help us, Lord, today to get a hold of our tongue. And when we do that, a lot of things will line up. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.